Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And the short of it is the income is not secure. And the income is not secure not only because, you know, it's based on whoever books throughout the year, but it's also dependent on what's happening externally.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode of Invest Like a Pro, we're joined by influential buyer's agent and investor Simon Liu, who has surpassed his long-standing goal of accumulating over $100,000 of passive net income. We learn the benefits of buying lifestyle property in the right locations, as well as the challenges associated with Airbnb and how to overcome them. Liu has spent almost a decade of his life accumulating investment properties to add to his portfolio, and his portfolio is secure enough now to move on to riskier ventures.
My property journey started when I was 26 years old, and I've been buying properties based on what I've been talking about pretty much all of last year. Properties that are below market value and good cash flow and all that kind of stuff. Very business focused decisions with every property that I bought. So it was never emotional. It was just all about the numbers and how it could help me build my passive income. So around about 7 years later, from 26 years old, I reached $100,000 of passive income, which was my initial goal. And at that point, I had 12 properties under my belt, just by buying below market value and all that kind of stuff. Since then, I obviously started this business that I'm running now as a buyer's agent, helping others, you know, achieve that same outcome. And I've been running that for around about 5 years now. It's been going pretty well. And my current portfolio sits at 18 properties. And my loan to value ratio is under 50%, so slightly under 50%, which means my overall passive income across the year in terms of net cash flow is somewhere around about the $200,000 to $250,000 mark. After sort of building this portfolio over the past, you know, 9 or so years, it's enabled me to recently get into more interesting, or more what I would consider risky, investments, which I'm happy to share that I've been buying a couple of lifestyle properties on the north coast of New South Wales.
Liu explains what he means by risky investments according to his standards.
The biggest risk is the fact that the cash flow is not secure. You know, with most of the properties that I've been buying as part of my portfolio to generate that initial secure passive income has always been, okay, you know, 6% rental yields. You know, if I buy it, I can rent it out immediately and get that immediate cash flow. With these lifestyle properties that I'm looking into now, for personal reasons, it's because, you know, my goal is to Airbnb them out. You know, is to short-term let these properties. And the short of it is the income is not secure. And the income is not secure not only because, you know, it's based on whoever books throughout the year, but it's also dependent on what's happening externally. So, you know, obviously we've had, quite an interesting 8 months where there was a series of lockdowns and people can't, you know, travel to certain areas within states or even interstate. So, you know, whenever there's those kinds of factors that influence how people can travel, then obviously that will affect your income on these properties as well. So I guess from my perspective, you know, just to by way of background on my kind of, you know, personal circumstances and where I've come since I started investing, you know, I would have never dreamed of buying these kinds of, you know, lifestyle Airbnb type properties in the initial part of my investment journey because it would have been just way too risky. So it was very important, and I tell this to my clients as well, or anyone who I talk to about property investing, it's super important just to develop that initial portfolio of properties that's doing its cash flow thing. It's giving you that passive income stream. It's got a bunch of equity in it, so that if you do want to, you know, pursue, I guess maybe like a dream property or a scenario where you can, you know, overextend yourself from a risk perspective, but potentially get bigger rewards, and then you can kind of afford to once you've got that established portfolio.
And that makes sense. I think that's the key thing, is that it's the foundations. I think everybody needs to probably understand is that before you actually jump into something like maybe development or Airbnb or any of those type of things, you've got to have those foundational properties because you're dealing with a different strategy altogether.
To be upfront with you, like, you know, all the properties I've bought up until these Airbnb projects that I've been getting into have been, you know, purely unemotional. You know, it's just purely business decisions. But these ones in particular have definitely, you know, had a little bit of a personal or an emotional decision involved as well, because, you know, after so many years, you know, you get to a point where you, I guess, just want to smell the roses a bit and want to enjoy what you're doing. So, you know, like personally, I've got a young family now, you know, so it's, you know, having these sort of lifestyle properties that I Airbnb out, I can also potentially use when it's vacant for, you know, just like a short family holiday or just as a means to spend more time together as a family and to enjoy it as well. So there's that definitely that sort of personal element to it as well. It's always been a long-term goal of mine to own these types of properties ever since I started investing. So just to expand a little bit on the properties as well, they're on the water, so they're waterfront type houses with like a jetty and all this kind of stuff. You know, my family's really into fishing and things like that, so we kind of bought it with that premise. The other thing is I've noticed, like with the whole sort of short-term letting / Airbnb market, is you definitely need to buy properties that have that X factor. You know, if you just have a property that's just like a standard house, you know, in some suburb, it's never going to perform as well or consistently as a property that might be on the water or might be, you know, near a beach, or it might have like internally, you know, lots of activities or things like pools and children's equipment and all this kind of stuff as well. And those are the ones that you know, develop a bit of a following, I guess, and you just get that consistent income and consistent booking. Now, the catch is to purchase and to build up these types of properties to have that X factor is generally, you know, quite expensive.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, with a car, to purchase a car, to get you from point A to B, there's nothing flashy about it. It just works. But if you want to actually have something with a bit of a status, like a brand symbol to it, then you got to pay for a premium. And it's no different with property too. But, you know, the demand is there, as you can see.
Definitely. And look, I mean, for anyone out there who's looking to get into Airbnbs, like that would be my suggestion, is to get into something that has that sort of appeal, that emotional appeal, because like most people, when they go on holidays with their family, I mean, it might be once every 3 months max, you know, when it's going interstate. So they don't really mind spending a little bit more, you know, on a nightly basis if they're doing 3 or 4 nights or a week, whatever it is. If it does, you know, create, if it's just more, there's this more wow factor, you know, there's more enjoyment, you know, so from that perspective, I've been able to charge a little bit more for the place that I've got, obviously, since I paid a little bit more for it. But more importantly, I mean, we launched the first one that we bought in January, and we're pretty much booked out for the month already. So, you know, it's the cash flow, it appears from now to be a pretty good business just by itself. But I will say, yes, there was definitely a cost to doing to getting it to this point.
So how does Lou cover himself when the property is vacant?
Having these properties for me is also, you know, somewhat for personal enjoyment as well. So I can use it personally, and I can only use it if it's vacant, right? If no one's booked it. So I'm actually kind of half hoping that, you know, there are going to be some periods where it's just empty, so I can actually use it myself. I mean, it's great that it's booked and producing income, but at the same time, I guess I can probably use that income and just book my own Airbnb somewhere else. But it's nice to be able to enjoy, you know, the fruits of your labor as well. So, you know, definitely peak times, you know, will be booked out, and the priority is to ensure that it's you know, booked up as much as possible. But during quiet times, yeah, definitely, you know, we'll be looking to spend a bit of family time there.
What was it about Airbnb that attracted Lou over something like a subdivision or development?
Owning a waterfront house has always been a dream of mine ever since I bought that initial property. It wasn't just for the, you know, the look at me factor, I own a waterfront property, but it's the fact that I actually really enjoy, kayaking and fishing and being on a boat and, you know, just the views of having waterfront, you know. So it's always been a goal in the back of my mind, and it's something that I've always worked towards. Now, what happened last year with the whole COVID thing started, a couple of things for me personally. The first thing is it kind of reinforced the fact that anything can happen in life that's in or without of your control. You know, so there is an element where, you know, you need to enjoy what you're doing. You know, you need to experience life or just, you know, just reach your goals and you know, it's not just all about, you know, the bottom line and making money and investing and all that kind of stuff. So at some point you really have to enjoy the process, but also enjoy the outcome as well. So that kind of told me, okay, cool. You know, this year, you know, based on all that's happening, I've already established my portfolio. I've done pretty well so far. I think this is, you know, the where I'm going to transition to start enjoying what I'm doing. More so, you know, if that makes sense, like enjoying it on a personal level. Like I've enjoyed it all up until this point, but you know, this is more kind of like sit back and relax type thing as well. And I guess the second thing that kind of prompted me to get into Airbnbs in particular was obviously the shift between how people were traveling based on last year. So, you know, you couldn't go overseas anymore. I've noticed, you know, even I stayed in a few Airbnbs myself early last year. And I've noticed that, you know, the demand for these kind of X factor properties, you know, within driving distance from a capital city was significantly high, you know, and that's reflected on the nightly prices for a lot of these places. And it's also reflected by when you go to book a particular Airbnb, you can see how, you know, how many dates are booked out, you know, in advance. You know, some of these properties could be months and months in advance. So that kind of told me, you know what, combining the fact that, you know, I've always wanted to buy a waterfront property, you know, the fact that, you know, there's certain things that had happened last year that kind of was a bit of a wake-up call to not only me, but I'm sure every person, you know, is thinking that, you know, your life or the world can change in an instant. You know, there's not, you know, time's a limiting factor. You know, you kind of just have to go out and do things. And also the fact that, you know, from a business decision perspective, you know, there was that demand for this type of product, and that got me searching. You know, so, you know, I had a look at you know, started doing some numbers, started looking at what's viable, and there was a certain price point versus how much I can potentially rent these properties out for on a nightly basis that would make it, you know, make sense, I guess, from a conservative perspective.
Q Coming up in the second half, we learn about the process Lou followed to secure his investment.
I remember it came on a Thursday and I just called the agent immediately, drove up, had a look at it, and I immediately signed a contract.
He shares his negotiation tactics.
So, I play that to my advantage. You know, I knew that this guy wanted a certain figure, and I knew that figure was below what the property was worth.
We discussed the importance of interior design when marketing Airbnb properties.
First and foremost, I have to thank my wife for basically doing it all. If it was left to me, it'd probably still be empty at this point. There might be a TV in the corner somewhere.
And that's coming up next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Have you been looking for months and getting frustrated that each property you've seen seems to be a lemon? Or are you after distressed, off-market, high cash flow properties in high growth areas, capital city locations? If you answered yes to either of these questions, you are not alone. For being a loyal listener of the podcast, Simon Liu is offering a free one-hour strategy session normally valued at $500 to help put together an actionable property plan. To get your free strategy session, simply visit housefinder.com.au and fill out the contact form or call Simon directly on 0415 626 342 and quote Property Investory. Lou talks us through how he found his dream lifestyle property.
I just started looking for it like I normally do when I look for properties. And, you know, there were a few opportunities that came up, which fell over, which is normal. But then I ended up with one, this particular property that we bought, which is in Lake Macquarie, New South Wales. On the water and everything. And it was a property that was listed for less than a day. You know, I remember it came on a Thursday and I just called the agent immediately, drove up, had a look at it, and I immediately signed a contract because I knew, you know, the price that they wanted for the property was not conducive to what it was worth. Pretty much, like, there was a massive gap, and there was a reason for that. And, you know, the seller was a pilot, a Qantas pilot, unfortunately, who had lost his job. And he spent a lot of money renovating this property. His goal was to live there, to enjoy the property. And, you know, when I was there in the living room of the property negotiating with the agent and the seller, you know, it became apparent that his goal was not to get the highest price. His goal was just to ensure that whoever buys this property is not going to mess around with, finance issues or, you know, umming and ahhing, or, you know, having a contract crash and all this kind of stuff. So, I play that to my advantage. You know, I knew that this guy wanted a certain figure, and I knew that figure was below what the property was worth. So I basically just gave him what he wanted. And I signed what we call a 66W, which is an unconditional contract. And I don't recommend anyone do this for any listeners out there.
Well, that's pretty much when you go to auction, you will have to sign an unconditional 66W.
But for me, you know, like I've bought, you know, so many properties for myself and for clients as well. Like, I know what to look for. I was comfortable enough from a finance perspective in terms of, you know, being able to get a loan for it. You know, I had, knew what to look for from a building, not a building pest inspector, but I knew what to look for, you know, pretty much from what would be considered risky or what could be an issue from a building perspective.
When you see and hear, and especially when you're there as well too, that was a renovated property. So I'm pretty sure he said he was going to do it for himself. He wouldn't do it, you know, cutting the corners and stuff like that. He probably put a lot of time and effort, especially being a pilot, you know, to look after the place.
Look, I mean, it's important that we don't make those assumptions because there are some shoddy renovators out there that I've seen plenty of. So I when I'm negotiating on the spot, I try and take that factor out of it, that sort of emotional assumptions. I try and just look at it as what it is. And just walking around the house, looking under the house, looking, you know, on the outside and all that kind of stuff, I could tell that he put a lot of care and effort into it. There is always a risk. As I said, I'm not a building inspector, but that risk was mitigated by the fact that I bought this property for way cheaper than what it could potentially sell for. So, you know, the evidence was, you know, I went up on the Thursday, I signed the contract, and it was listed for literally a few hours. Now, come the Saturday, the selling agent was smashed with inquiries, you know, from people wanting to look at the property, to buy the property. And yeah, I mean, there were even higher offers than what I paid at that point in time. But obviously I already had signed an unconditional contract, which meant that, you know, not only could I not get out of it, but the seller couldn't get out of it either. So, you know, sometimes it pays, like, especially in this market, it's really, you know, one of the lessons there is, you know, to move quickly. You know, don't make uninformed, risky decisions, but get prepared. You know, get your finances sorted. When you see something that you like, just go for it, you know. And if you, like, you know, don't sign 60 stubbies or anything unless you know what you're looking for. But there are certain times where if the price is right, then sometimes it might be worth taking a bit of a risk, you know, because, you know, the worst, you know, you kind of have to think, okay, you know, if there is something wrong with a certain part of the house, but you're getting it 100 grand or 200 grand or 300 grand below what it's worth, then, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world to fix it, if that makes sense. So you kind of have to just work out that risk versus reward.
Totally. And it sounds about right, because when you say that, it's, you know, you got it under market value, you probably will go back to the bank and get it revalued down the track anyway, and be able to draw a bit more of that equity out eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
How much time did Lewis spend doing his research before signing the contract, given that it was such a fast transaction?
I mean, I'm a buyer's agent, so I, you know, it's my job to look at properties day in, day out. So it's kind of natural for me. And, you know, like after a while, I just keep a very hawk eye on the market. You know, I obviously liaise with all the agents in the areas that I'm looking at. And I was very in tune with what was selling after a while and how much they were selling for and what certain properties are worth, good sides, bad sides. And this comes down to interest. You know, I brushed on this a little bit earlier on. You know, we talk about investing in property, investing in things to help us make money. But I have a thing called the Saturday night test. You know, if you can't spend your Saturday nights, you know, researching something or doing something, that just purely simply means that you're not super interested in it. You know what I mean? Like, because most Saturday nights people are, you know, clocked off. They might be, you know, out partying or whatever. So, you know, for me, like, it was definitely a bit of a passion project. I was, you know, probably got to a point where I was somewhat obsessed, which made things easier, you know, from a research perspective. Like, you know, I mean, all the evidence is there. You know, you just have to look at Airbnb and what's listed, even in the areas that you're looking at. You know, what they're renting for, how much what their blockout periods are, how much rented they're in advance, for example, how much they're charging, all that kind of stuff. And you kind of have to work backwards from there. Okay, cool. So if they're renting for X amount, you know, per week, per month, per year, you know, how much would I have to spend on a particular property, or what would be the max purchase price on the property that I would have to spend to ensure that the cash flow works so that I'm not out of pocket? So, you know, if you buy like a $10 million waterfront house in Palm Beach, the amount of consistent Airbnb income is very similar to if you bought a $2 million house up the coast that also may be waterfront, if that makes sense. So, you know, you kind of have to just weigh out, you know, the reward as well, and treat it at like a little bit of a business decision, but also think to yourself, okay, you know, there is there's no compromise on the quality, the enjoyment, the on a personal level, and all those factors as well. And interestingly, get out of Sydney or get out of Brisbane or get out of any capital city factor is also something that was in the back of my mind as well. You know, because when people want to take holidays, they generally want to get out from where they are. They don't want to, even if there's like a super nice property down the road on the northern beaches, if you're in Sydney, that's not as appealing as going up the coast, you know, to somewhere a few hours drive away. Like, part of the appeal is actually getting out of the city. So it kind of works like that as well. It's a little bit more of an interesting thing, very emotionally charged. So it's not necessarily just like, oh, you know, what the yield is and all this kind of stuff. So it's a mental thing. You, like, you've gotten away from it all, you know. So, and the other thing where I chose particular locations that I bought these properties in is they're surrounded by a whole bunch of lifestyle things as well. So, you know, you've got the Hunter Valley, wineries, you've got beaches, you've got, you know, a lot of stuff in that area that people can just a short drive away and they can sort of return down back to base to, you know, for nighttime or for whatever. So it's definitely something that I've been thinking for quite a while. But it requires a certain level of passion and dedication to do it properly. And I will say the furnishing bit is also a bit of a challenge because when you buy these properties, you have to furnish it properly. You know, people only assess the property based on pictures. You know, so you got to make sure you take proper pictures. You got to make sure that there's a theme to the property. You know, you can't just buy, like, you know, secondhand furniture from St. Vinny's and hope that it all comes together. And at the end of the day, it's just marketing. You know, you start an Instagram page. You just start building it from that perspective, and that's where it gets a lot of traction. So, look, I mean, it's still early days, but you know, so far it's been going okay. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
Since he bought the property empty, Lou had to fit out the place to make it as appealing as possible for potential holidaymakers.
First and foremost, I have to thank my wife for basically doing it all. If it was left to me, it'd probably still be empty at this point. there might be a TV in the corner somewhere. So, we made a conscious decision to do it properly. And in doing it properly, we actually got an interior designer in to do up sketches and to make sure the colors and, you know, all the furnitures, like they even picked out the specific pieces of furniture for us to buy. Obviously there was a cost to it, but at the end of the day, you know, the feedback that we're getting so far is that it looks great, you know, like it all kind of works together. So that kind of made it a little bit easy. What probably was the most difficult thing was actually just coordinating, you know, all the purchasing and all the deliveries and, you know, obviously putting the furniture together and all that kind of stuff, which probably took a couple of weeks. Slash enjoyment as well. You know, it wasn't all work when you're up there and you've got a beautiful waterfront property to enjoy. It kind of makes putting a couch together a little bit more enjoyable.
Not so labor intensive as well. It's like, yeah, I'll put it together when I'm finished having a bit of fun out in the water with my family. So,
look, I mean, interestingly, it's also a little bit therapeutic to do these kinds of tasks. But it was definitely good. And it was actually so enjoyable because, you know, obviously, the whole family went up to help. So we spent a lot of quality time together, and it was so much so enjoyable that I bought another one within a month. You know, so we've got another one now that's not yet settled, but once it settles, we're obviously going to be doing it all over again.
Thank you to Simon Liu on this episode of Invest Like a Pro.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.